Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
T-minus one more day to the start of the NFL season as the Kansas City Chiefs will play host to the Baltimore Ravens to kick off the NFL season on Thursday Night Football. We'll also have a game on Friday in Brazil. Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. But today for the Bills, first injury report coming up hopefully a little bit later in the morning. Bills head coach Sean McDermott will speak with the media at 12 for a 12:30 practice. We will hear from Sal Capaccio coming up in just about a little over an hour, about an hour and 15 minutes. He'll speak with us at about 11:15. And then we'll also get a look behind enemy lines as we'll get a look at the Arizona Cardinals with Tyler Drake. He will join the show, covers the Cardinals, has a podcast out there as well. Be an early morning for him, but he'll be joining us in about a half hour at 10:30. Very, very excited.
Zach, I'm also very excited. Do you know what the Sabres just tweeted out?
Captains.
Black and red schedule.
Did they really?
Yup. 1 minute ago. The goat head for 15 games. 15.
Didn't Tage Thompson say he wanted the goat head for
a lot?
I think he just said permanent.
He did say permanent.
I don't think it was a lot.
He did say permanent. And then that sparked the whole debate of the blue and gold and all that stuff. Real quick, though.
Never leaves.
So 15 games. The first one being October 26th. Man, they couldn't have done Halloween.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Halloween would have been so good.
Yeah.
Oh, they're wearing it the day after my birthday in April.
There we go.
We're going to that game. That's happening. But yeah, so 15 games. Sabres tweeted that out. They have their black and red schedule up. Man, I'm excited. This is why it's the elite season, because you get football and then all of a sudden, boom, there's hockey. It creeps up on you.
And it's a big thing too with hockey. It comes out of nowhere. Next week Friday is the prospect challenge. Then the preseason starts, and the preseason is over in the blink of an eye. It's done. And then all of a sudden it's regular season. I think the Sabres' first regular season game, if I'm remembering correctly, as I just looked at the schedule, is October 4th. I think.
A month from today?
It is October 4th. It is a month.
Month from today.
The Sabres season will kick off. Kickoff's a bad way to put it.
Start,
yeah. It'll just start in a month, and they'll be in Prague against the New Jersey Devils.
Is it wrong to say it kicks off, or is it just wrong because we're talking about football right now and it feels wrong?
Kickoff feels right. I don't
like because you kick it off like you're kicking it off, you know.
But like you don't kick anything, and you literally can't.
Where did kickoff originate? Was it in sports or was it something else?
It's
something with boats. You kick off of the dock?
Not a chance. Got to be with football. Got to be with football.
Hold on.
If it's with boats, I'm gonna be upset.
Where did the term kickoff come from?
Just gonna go right to Google.
Yep.
Did you get anything?
The term kickoff originated in the English language in the 1850s.
It's going to be with boats. Please, no. It's going to be with boats.
It has multiple meanings. To start an event or activity in sports with soccer or football, rugby. To become full of action and excitement. To start or to get angry. To complain in a noisy way.
I'm counting
the
soccer.
The Oxford English Dictionary's earliest version of kickoff is from 1857. But it doesn't say why.
Soccer. So I'm taking
1857?
It. Yeah.
No.
Look when soccer was invented. That feels right.
Soccer is very old. Like, if you look back at like the rudimentary roots of soccer, it's very old. But I don't know. I feel like 1857 is a long time
ago. According to FIFA, modern soccer began in England in 1863.
Yeah, that's right.
So close.
So
that's disrespectful.
Okay, obviously,
you can't be that close.
The problem is where did it originate? Like, we know what it means.
I mean, clearly England. Got the Oxford Dictionary.
Yeah.
Soccer, you know, 10 years later, England, which I'm not really thrilled about.
No, but it was first used as a noun in 1856 and as a verb in 1857.
We've gone too far. We've gone too far.
Well, because the verb is the action of kicking off.
The Sabres will skate away a month from today.
Well, face off, puck drop.
Face off. There it is. Thank you.
Face off works. Puck
because
drop,
it is
puck
a
drop,
face off.
Yeah. Because puck drop, you have to say like in a very specific way to make it work.
Yeah, the Sabres will not puck drop their season in a month.
You know, it's a lot of, you know, puck drop is tonight.
No, let's start it right now. The Sabres will puck drop their season
in
a month.
Won't be a part of that. Will not be a part of that.
You don't want to be a part of history?
Yeah, I'm good. Right. I'm perfectly good. Zach Jones and Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And as we did mention, though, while we are a month away from the Sabres season facing off,
puck.
That's terrible.
Puck,
no, that doesn't
puck
work.
Dropping.
Puck dropping. We are a day away from the NFL season getting going. I was looking this morning at potential parlays for the lone game tomorrow, which, of course, is Baltimore and Kansas City. We already pretty much know Hollywood Brown will not be a part of the game for KC tomorrow. Actually, it may be official, but Andy Reid all but kiboshed that last week by basically saying like he's not ready. I know today Devin White was ruled out for the Eagles as they take on the Packers on
Friday.
That's because,
I mean, they have to fly out today.
Yep, they are leaving today.
Which is, I mean, Packers too, because it's a 9.5-hour flight to Brazil.
Yep.
Even though it's basically straight down, you're still changing a lot of time zones.
But, it's back.
Oh, yeah. We're here.
Less than
24? No, more than 24 hours.
More than 24 hours, yeah. More than 24 hours.
36?
Something like that.
Yeah.
But I think you were saying it yesterday of, like, you were almost excited to see the injury report.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to, like, those graphics. Like, just the things that we're used to in a game week. Because then it feels like, oh, like, we're back. We're fully back. And then every day has a different meaning because on a normal game week, if you play on a Sunday, you know, let's say in like 3 weeks' time, right, mm-hmm. when the Bills play a few Sundays in a row, because the first few weeks here are going to be weird because obviously, so the Bills kick off Sunday mm-hmm. against the Cardinals and then immediately play Thursday night against the Dolphins, which is fantastic in terms of watchability because you have two games in 5 days,
yeah,
which not so great in terms of the potential, you know, physical aspects of that, but two games in 5 days, and then you have another little break, then you get the long break. You get to watch all the rest of the NFL because
mm-hmm.
Sunday night, Sunday, all day, everything. And then the Bills play on Monday night against Jacksonville. But then it goes to more of a normal schedule that we're kind of used to with the 1 o'clock kickoffs on Sundays or even like the 4:30 kickoffs.
Yeah.
But I think back to last year and it's like, you know, and obviously just every year is like this, but you have, it's the Monday after a game. It's either Victory Monday or it's, man, what happened yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Tuesday. All right, it's kind of just the day to relax and breathe. Wednesday, the first practice, the first, you know, meetings of the week and everything like that. And then Thursdays, you get Thursday Night Football along with more practices and more news and more everything. And it's just every day has a different meaning now, and it's nice. And I'm not saying that, you know, in the summertime it doesn't have a meaning when it's Friday or something like that, but like –
We're back on like almost like a schedule.
Right. When it's funny. We all, you know, if you're a football fan or even if you're not a football fan, you're just kind of existing here, you kind of know the day of the week by what football is mm-hmm. happening, which is kind
of
interesting.
That is sort of how we keep track of like the days now. It's like, all right, Monday night football. Okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, nothing. Thursday night football.
And sometimes you even have like the Saturday games late in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course this week with the Friday game and last year with the Black Friday game.
Yep.
That was a first, and I bet you it's not going to be the last for sure.
No, not a chance. But yeah, it is interesting now that like that's how a lot of people end up kind of keeping track of their days and stuff like that is when football is on. For a lot of people, Saturday is the college day, Friday is the high school day, Thursday starts the NFL week, I am nervous, though, for the Bills. I'm never somebody that gets that excited for week one, because oftentimes week one is not really indicative of what your season is going to be. It is kind of an outlier in that sense. You could have an incredible great win, what have you, and then your season just absolutely tailspins. Or you could have a bad loss, and then all of a sudden it's like, you look back at the year and go, that was really a bit of an outlier. Like, they were really good that year. And especially with the Bills, this season, I find myself both encouraged and excited with certain things. You know, Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, of course, a lot of the young guys like Terrell Bernard, Osiris Torrance, and Ed Oliver, I think, are going to take big steps going forward. But, you know, we've heard Sal talk about it. We've all kind of talked about it. There is a massive, massive, massive unknown when it comes to this Bills team. And the Arizona Cardinals are not a bad football team. This is, you know, a year later, we were having a much different conversation, or a year earlier, we were having a much different conversation about the Arizona Cardinals than we are now. And that's why I'm kind of excited to talk to Tyler Drake in about 15 minutes, because ultimately that's the thing, is it was a drastically different conversation last year, where it was just kind of like, get through the year, you know, get Kyler healthy. Jonathan Gannon seems to be a little bit of a weirder coach. He's got, you know, his introductory press conference.
Is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But his introductory press conference, not great. And then all of a sudden, you know, to start last year, they weren't awful. They seemingly were playing, you know, with a little bit more of a grit, I guess. You know, they were a team that was a little bit tougher to play against, at least to start the year.
Well, and it didn't help either that they didn't have Kyler Murray for the last half of 2022 and the starting half of 2023. Last half, meaning more so like three games, four games.
Yeah.
But still, it was, you know, the Cardinals were trying to get something together in 2022, and then Kyler Murray just gets hurt. And then you lose him for half of last season because of that same injury.
Mm-hmm. But ultimately, in 2022 and 23, they had the exact same record, 4-13. But it is a different vibe now. I mean, you get Kyler Murray. You have seemingly a really nice wide receiver room as well, obviously headlined by the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. Greg Dortch seems to be kind of everyone's favorite fantasy under the radar guy. Trey McBride is really good. Their running back room is interesting with Trey Benson and, of course, James Conner.
Well, now James Conner is the bell cow,
I guess, the bell cow,
according to their offensive coordinator. I wish I would have known that before I drafted him in all three of my fantasy leagues.
Yep,
that would have been so cool.
Thanks
for letting me know.
That'd have been fun. Buda Baker at safety is phenomenal. And then they've got some of these other guys as well. Paris Johnson Jr., who they drafted last year, so he's going into his second year. They're an interesting team that I, as a Bills fan, barely pay attention to them, mainly because they're almost as far west as you can get, but they aren't like the major cities like LA. And the Bills don't play them that much. It's not even like they're in the AFC, they're in the NFC. And so it's just like, I've never really thought of the Arizona Cardinals, and now looking at them, I'm going, it's not a great team to have a lot of question marks heading into your season to play first. And that's what the Bills have. They have a ton of question marks. Now, I think it is just as likely the Bills go out there and win 28-10. And you're just like, yeah, they look awesome. I'm not worried at all. That they lose 28-10 and you're going, cool. The wide receiver position, serious question marks everywhere. They are off to a slow start. The defense, yeah, they may have been old, but they lost a lot of key members on the team, and this is hurting them. I think all of those are just as likely because of all the unknown elements for the Bills.
Let me take that a step further. Here's a bit of a scenario for you. Let's say the Bills do win 28-10 on Sunday. Two of those touchdowns are defensive touchdowns. How do you feel?
I mean, I'm happy. Like, I'm thrilled, because that'd be like good for the defense, you know, to get two scores. But I think realistically, all the questions coming into this year were on the offense. And for them, then, so we're saying they score two touchdowns, defense scores two touchdowns?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
right. Because you feel great, because you know, hey, look, the offense or the defense, we lost a lot of guys, and it's not that bad. You know, it's everything's fine, and this is all hypothetical, obviously, but it's just because I feel like, yes, the offense has been the focal point, but there's been a lot of people saying that one of the reasons why the Bills aren't going to be good this year is because their defense lost a lot of players. And I think my thing, along with some other people too, has been the players they lost are older and have been injured and have had issues with staying healthy and all this stuff over the past 3-4 years, mm-hmm. and they've still been good offenses. And then, oh, Matt Milano gets hurt, and yes, that stinks, but you played all season last year without Matt Milano, mm-hmm. and you were fine.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you want to play without Matt Milano, but the point I'm trying to make here is if you go out and have a good defensive performance in the first game like that, you feel good for about 5 minutes, and then you realize, wait a minute,
mm-hmm.
They scored half the points while our offense only scored our offense scored the same amount. Like that's the problem there is I think the only way we all feel good about this game if they win is if the offense goes out and is just dominant and shows out and is
and there's no real level of panic.
Right.
You're looking not to say exactly this, but like sort of like the Rams game from a few years ago.
Yeah, you go out and you embarrass them, essentially.
Where like even you still have some issues where it's like, you didn't look great. There's a few turnovers, but ultimately
they weren't
handled them.
They weren't uncharacteristic turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, think back to that Rams game. It wasn't like, you know, Allen is trying to make some super stupid crazy play and turns the ball over, and you know, it's like, what are you doing there? It was just kind of your run of the mill. Oh, there's an interception.
There's a fumble,
or whatever. Yeah.
And so, like, I guess my big thing though too is like going into this game, I'm almost more interested in like, and I just tweeted it out here too. I'm almost more interested in what is the level of panic for Bills fans though if they lose. I feel like if they win, because like you just brought it up, like they need to win almost. I would say for a lot, not everybody, but for, I think for a lot of fans, they would need to win in a very specific way. For fans to feel comfortable, to feel good, there are always going to be fans. I think this is correct to a certain extent. Just win. You know, the old Al Davis, you know, saying of just win, baby. I think a lot of fans will just win. Just keep winning.
Yeah.
Get me to January, what have you.
But I think when you have that mentality, and I think that was maybe the mentality of the last couple years, not this past, you know, mm-hmm. 5-6 year span.
Yeah.
But
Two or three.
After 13 seconds specifically,
mm-hmm.
I think that's been the mentality of like, oh, just keep winning. We'll just get to January, just keep getting to the playoffs, just keep winning. I think that's where you run into issues like last season where, oh yeah, they kept winning, but everything was exposed and you see all of the issues that you really have and you see all of these
problems, everything.
Yeah. And I think that while yes, I want them to keep winning, I want them to do it convincingly. I don't want to squeak out every win and you know.
You want to feel good. You want to feel like it's sustainable. Yeah. It's consistent.
You're gonna have wins where mm-hmm. where you got a bad taste in your mouth, where it's, you know, a comeback win.
Yeah.
After some stupid stuff happens, and it's just like, you know what? Hey, they won. That's fine. But when every win feels like that, it leads to this feeling. Because every win last year, or most of them anyway, felt like this pulling teeth of like, ooh, man, that was tough. And it mm-hmm. should not have been that tough. And that's
you're more exhausted.
Right.
You know, you're kind of like, I need a drink.
It's that meme of like, hey, kickoff started. Oh my God, what is this? Hey, they won. Great.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of how it felt for a lot of the season last year. But I think that if you have that happen so much in one season, that's what leads to this feeling at the beginning of the next season.
We got two comments already, and yeah. I think it pretty much, the first two comments, I think pretty much nail why I kind of wanted to talk about this. Puckhead tweets in, none, in terms of his level of panic if they lose to the Cardinals. Eater tweets in, full blown. I think that is fair. I think a lot of it, though, also depends, how are you feeling about the Bills going into this game anyways?
Well, right. I mean...
If you think the Bills are going to be fine, it might be a little bit rough in the beginning of the year, but I think they're going to be fine. You're probably not that worried if they lose week one. You're thinking, oh my gosh, Diggs is gone, Hyde and Poyer are gone, they haven't replaced the receivers, what are we going to do? And then they do lose week one, the level of panic is different. It all of a sudden is everything I feared is maybe coming true. I'm not saying either is the correct way to do it. But I think both are fair. It depends on where you're sitting with the Bills now.
And I think also no matter how if they do lose week one, no matter how it happens, it's going to be panic.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a last second Hail Mary, if it's a, you know, Arizona barely gets down the field and kicks like a 52-yard field goal or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of those scenarios lead to panic. The only I don't I mean, I'm Captain Optimism on Twitter for a reason. The only, and I don't mean to be so pessimistic here, but the only way I see there not being panic is if you have an offensive dynamo performance from Allen and two or three of the receivers, or even like James Cook or Dalton Kincaid. And anything else is just kind of like, oh, well, you got the win, but is this the same old story as last year?
Yep. Paul tweets in, none. It's basically the traditional third preseason game. The NFC with little to no consequences. Starters get extended time, working some concepts, players they didn't get to in the preseason, ramp up for the divisional game in 4 days. I think that's also fair to bring up kind of in this point as well, because Paul brought up the preseason games. Kyler Murray hasn't played in the preseason. So if there's fears of like Allen being rusty because he hasn't played too much, I think if you're a Bills fan, there should be hope that Kyler Murray is a little bit rusty because he hasn't played. Razor then tweets in, 10 out of 10 because of the schedule. Just not a good season to let any games like this go. Again, it's the duality of it. I think it's up and down. It depends on what kind of fan you are, where you think the Bills are at now going into week one. And I think that's so fascinating. Because I would say, you know, if we're doing this out of 10, I put it at a 5.
Yeah.
I would be at a 5.
Vinny tweets in, and he said out of 10, I'd say a 7. It's a game they need to win, but a lot of moving parts on the team, and it's week one, which usually isn't the best indication for team success. However, it's a game they need to win in terms of playoffs. And I think that last part that Vinny put in there is very important because, well, you might think of it as, oh, it's just week one. It's an NFC team. It's the Arizona Cardinals. It's week one against a non-conference opponent in a game where you can kind of get ahead of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, look at tomorrow's game, for example. The Chiefs play the Ravens. One of those two teams is going to be 0-1 tomorrow.
The Chiefs were 0-1 last year.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that that's the perfect, you know, telltale sign for the rest of the season. But if you get a win when other teams that you're rivaling don't, that's a good thing. That's a big thing when it comes to playoffs at the end of the year. And we saw it last year with the seeding.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bills hosted the Chiefs last year.
Yep.
And I do think that that's an important part to look at too, is while yes, it's not a conference game, it's important to the full season outlook in terms of games you should win and also games that you can use to get ahead of other teams.
Well, and also so like you're not in a position you were last year where all of a sudden you have a 5% chance to make the playoffs and you're praying that the Dolphins collapse. I'm not sure on the Dolphins at all. I still think they're a paper tiger. I think they beat up bad teams and can't play well against good teams. But you don't want to leave yourself in that position of, oh, great, we need to now go on a 4-5-6 game win streak just like to keep our playoff hopes alive.
Like they do every year.
They do.
Pretty much.
But
I mean,
don't want to leave yourself vulnerable to like, yeah, but if we don't, we're screwed.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that, you know, 5-6 game win streak at the end of the year every year is very nice. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the ride up to it is terrifying.
I think a lot of this season, too, if I'm being honest, kind of where I'm sitting at with this, I think a lot of this season is let's find out what we have for the next core, for the next group that will be pushing for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If they win this year, awesome. Teams can win in transition years. They do it all the time. The Chiefs literally just did it. But I do think that that's what this year is for, is that let's find out who of the young group will be here for the next core. We are going to have more cap space next year. We're going to have a ton of early draft picks as well. Let's just figure out what we have now. If we win, awesome. If we don't, we need to figure out who we have. And that's where my fear is that, and I guess really what I'm watching for most of this season, unless it looks like, oh, okay, they're going to be awesome. If they're not a good team, it makes me really worried then going forward, because there is a lot of young talent on this team. And if none of them are really progressing, that is concerning. Mm-hmm. Or if they're not progressing to the point where they could take up spots from the older players that left, that's concerning. That, I feel like, would take like an ultimate like, oh no, everything is going poorly, because I do still think they're a good team with Josh Allen at quarterback. Now it's more to find out, you know, is Keon Coleman going to hit the ground running as a rookie? Are Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir two young guys in the skill position room that you're going to move forward with? Are you kind of going to move forward with James Cook, or are you going to go more towards just the Ray Davis, we're going to draft a running back in rounds 4 or 5 for the next few years? Osiris Torrance, Ed Oliver, Greg Rousseau, AJ Epenesa, Terrell Bernard, Dorian Williams, all these young guys, you've got to see what you have in them. going forward. I think that's maybe the most interesting part. It's the one interesting thing, or I guess even silver lining I got from the Matt Milano injury. It's terrible for him. It's terrible for the team this year. But it could be nice for them to maybe see, hey, do we need to draft another linebacker, you know, when the inevitable Matt Milano exit stage right moment happens? Or we got something in Doran Williams. We're okay. Now we're loaded at linebacker depth. It's going to be really, really interesting. Got to take a quick timeout, but if you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. And coming up after a quick timeout, we're going to be joined by Tyler Drake. He covers the Arizona Cardinals, also the co-host of the Cardinals Corner podcast. We'll get a look behind enemy lines on the Cardinals after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WG.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
GR.
I'm not going to lie. I made it a little bit more difficult than it needed to at the end. I'm not going to say the whole entire time, but for about the past month, I think we were pretty good.
There is San Francisco 49ers wide receiver Brandon Ayuk being quite honest about the fact that he made the negotiations difficult towards the end.
Good. I'm glad he was honest about it because I was wondering who was more...
So annoyed.
I was wondering who was difficult. Was it him or was it the 49ers? And I'm just glad there's some transparency there because you usually don't get that.
No,
which is
no.
Nice, actually.
I think a lot of the times you don't get transparency.
Fun.
But
yeah.
They've gotten a lot of their deals done now. Ayuk, of course, Trent Williams yesterday. Christian McCaffrey returned to practice as well. So, I mean, San Francisco, the Ricky Pearsall stuff notwithstanding, a lot of their bad vibes flipped on its head right before the season starts. And now we get a look at one of their NFC West rivals as the Bills will take on the Arizona Cardinals for week one. And we were joined by Tyler Drake on the Wester Hotline, covers the Arizona Cardinals, also the co-host of the Cardinals Corner podcast. Tyler, good morning, man. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me on. How you guys doing?
Doing very well, doing very well. It feels weird, though, that the Buffalo Bills will kick off the season against Arizona, like a team that has to go all the way across the country for week one. How do you guys feel about that?
Yeah, you know, it is interesting. It's a very, very far trip for the Cardinals. But on the flip side of that, they do get three straight home games, so it kind of evens out there. I would say it's probably a good back and forth for them. But like obviously week one, that's a far trip. But again, they come back, they get three straight home games. So I think everybody's okay with that.
And remind me if I'm wrong, Tyler, Kyler Murray hasn't played in the preseason. So this is going to be the first time fans will get to see him this year. He played a little bit last year. What is kind of the feelings in terms of his overall health? Of course, the addition of Marvin Harrison Jr. I know Greg Dortch is basically any numbers guy's favorite unknown wide receiver. Like, what is the feelings there?
Yeah, exactly. So you're exactly right. Didn't play in the preseason. He did get some work during the joint practice with the Colts. So that was about the extent of his preseason action. They obviously treated those 2 days like different games almost. So there was a little bit of, you know, time on task against another team. But for the most part, yeah, he's been kind of on the shelf. He went through training camp, got a full offseason healthy, though. That's the big thing there. Obviously got the 8 games last year. Good little sample size under the new system. This year, though, he just seems like a different person. He seems like he's much more in tune with the coaching staff, with his teammates. He's taking guys out, got a lot of extra work in L.A., fronted the bill there for a bunch of his guys. I think like 13 playmakers went out there with him. And yeah, it just his mentality too. I mean, he just seems like he's carrying himself a little bit different. And from all the signs and everything that I've seen and everything we've heard, he looks like he's at another level, and it looks like the Marvin addition is definitely going to help him out. You can tell their rapport is already really solid just through training camp and the amount of targets that he was just eating up on a daily basis. And, yeah, like you said, Greg Dortch is a number guy's dream. I think he's finally got an opportunity to do something now. That was the biggest thing. I think he's always had this skill. He just has always had somebody in front of him. And with Rondale Moore in Atlanta, they made the trade this offseason. That just opens up the opportunity for him that much more. And then another guy, Michael Wilson, I think is somebody that really needs to be looked at as a – you know, legit wide receiver too, if he can stay healthy. That's the biggest thing for him, because he clearly looks like he's taking that next step and is bringing a lot more consistency to his game as well.
One guy I was kind of curious about in this wide receiver room was former Buffalo Bills Zay Jones. I know he's suspended for the first 5 games, I think, because of the NFL's player conduct policy or something like that. And where does he fit in with this wide receiver room? Because obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. is wide receiver 1, but is he a guy that can maybe become wide receiver 2, or is he more of a certified backup sort of situation? Like, what's his deal in this offense?
Yeah, so when they got him, I automatically thought wide receiver 2. Just everything he's brought to the table his past years with Buffalo and with the Raiders, Jacksonville, obviously. So I thought for sure he was going to move into that wide receiver 2 role. But, you know, Michael Wilson and honestly, Zay Jones came into training camp and right away was just catching everything. He looked like a lot of what was advertised about him. But then you have Michael Wilson, who just consistently brought it through training camp. I still think Michael Wilson won that wide receiver 2 job, regardless of Zay being suspended or not. I do think he's going to be an important piece of the offense moving forward when he comes back. As far as what that looks like, I think it's going to be a wide receiver 3 role type deal right now, just because Michael Wilson's going to command a lot of the looks on the outside. Maybe they move him more into the slot and split things up with Dortch, because Dortch is also a return man, so you never know. Maybe they can move him around there. But I definitely see him having a role in the offense moving forward. It's just a matter of who's going to be available, because if Michael Wilson goes down, you automatically put Zay Jones in that wide receiver 2 slot across from Marvin Harrison. So it's going to be really interesting to see when he comes back, because obviously, like I said, Michael Wilson won that job, but Zay was right there in the mix to have an important role with this offense moving forward.
One matchup I know Bills fans are going to be keeping an eye on is Trey McBride. Of course, with the injury to Matt Milano, there's going to be effectively a backup linebacker covering McBride. And in year 2, man, Tyler, he popped off, going from 29 catches to 81, 825 yards, 3 touchdowns. What is the ceiling for McBride? I know he's a fantasy darling. Of course, statistically as well, he's popping off. But it seems like Marvin Harrison Jr. has taken sort of all the headlines, with McBride kind of quietly already being there, a very, very good NFL tight end.
Yeah. Honestly, I think you should put what he did last year as his floor, because if you look at the schedule or you look at the games played, I mean, he was sitting behind Zach Ertz for 7 weeks, I think, like, and he still put up those numbers. So I think that's really his floor now moving forward. And like you said, the headlines have been all over Marvin Harrison Jr., and rightfully so. He's a number 4 pick. He's looking like everything that everybody's talked about throughout the draft process. He looks like the real deal. But Trey McBride has gone out and quietly put together another solid offseason, a very consistent offseason, and he is going to feast in just how they operate, and especially with Marvin and all these other guys. They've revamped the offensive weapons, and if they can space the ball around and make Marvin really that dynamic number 1 guy, it's going to open up the door for everybody else, but especially Trey McBride. I think if they can get him more involved in play action passing, that would go way, way farther in giving him another boost. I mean, I don't think 1,000 yards is out of the question by any means. You know, we know Kyler Murray loves to involve his tight ends, and you can tell that he and Trey McBride have a really good relationship going into this, you know, 3rd year together. And Trey even talks about it. I mean, they worked on a lot of things that they messed up on in that eight game span that Kyler was back. And he even said in the offseason, like, that alone is huge for his confidence and comfortability in the offense. So I think there, you know, the sky really is the limit for Trey going into this year. And I think he surpasses those numbers from last year by a good margin.
So one other question here for me on the offense is with running backs. So James Conner was kind of named the RB1 without really being named RB1 yesterday. What does that mean for a guy like Trey Benson? I mean, I know he's somebody that There was a lot of chatter around in the offseason. I know I drafted him in one of my fantasy leagues thinking he was going to be a big part of their offense, and now I'm not so sure that that was a good draft pick. Granted, it was in a later round, so it's okay. But what's the deal with the running back room?
Yeah. It's James Conner's show for sure, 100%. He's the bell cow, but I think Trey Benson is definitely going to get his looks. I don't think that's a bad pick in fantasy. I actually did the same thing over here, but I actually had Connor too, so he's like a premium handcuff. But the big thing there is, I mean, if Connor can stay healthy, he's going to get the bulk of the work. If he goes down, though, which he has in the past couple of years, that's going to open up the door for Trey to come in and really take things over. He just brings it. He's got that home run ability. He can knock somebody down if he has to run somebody over. But James Conner still very much is their guy. He's a leader in the club or in the locker room, and he just brings it. I mean, every day he's about his business. He doesn't say much, but he just runs hard, and I think that's what they love about him. So they're going to give him every opportunity, but the door is open there for Trey to have some kind of role, maybe more of a pass catcher. Maybe James Conner turns into more of a pass catcher moving forward, because I know that he loves to be in that part of the game. You also have Amari DiMercato, who could be in there as a pass pro guy on third down. So there's a couple of guys you got to look in there, but I do think Trey Benson is going to get his looks. I don't know what that snap split is going to look like right away, but I know that they do want to get him involved. I mean, they use a third-round pick on him, and they definitely want to use the rookie that they wasted, or not wasted, but they burned a third-rounder on. So I definitely expect him to play this year and have a decent role. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but he's going to be in there as like the change of pace back. Because originally entering camp, I thought it was Michael Carter, and he didn't even make the 53-man roster. So that's just the running back room is pretty deep with the Cardinals right now.
So switching over to the defense real quick here, obviously you still have, you know, leader in Buda Baker there, but other than that, what's the defense looking like? Like, how has it improved? How has it changed in the past year or so?
Yeah. So I think the biggest thing is the defensive line has been revamped. They brought in Justin Jones. They got Bilal Nichols, a couple of guys veterans who can be on the field at all times. And obviously run defense was a big issue for them last year, and hopefully they're alleviating that issue a little bit. But that's still going to be a big one to watch there for sure, especially against Buffalo, because they've got a great run game. But I think the big thing there is you also have Darius Robinson. Obviously, he's on the IR for the first four games with the calf injury, but he is going to be a major factor for this defense moving forward. So the defense, yeah, defensive line definitely revamped. Inside linebacker room, you've got Mack Wilson Sr. and Kaiser White. I think that's one of your most solid, locked-in positions for the Cardinals right now, outside of safety with Jalen and Buda Baker. And cornerback, you've got a lot of guys fighting to really become that CB1 with Sean Murphy Bunting, Garrett Williams. You've got Starling Thomas. You've got Max Melton. So those guys are all, you know, jostling for position. I'd say Garrett Williams has a lock on the nickel spot. But then you've got Sean Murphy Bunting and Starling Thomas on the outside. Obviously, I think we all expect Max Melton to slide into a starting role eventually. Then pass rusher, that's probably the biggest question mark, because they lost B.J. Ojulari in training camp. You extended Zaven Collins, but you still need to see more out of him. Dennis Gardeck brings you know what you're going to get out of Dennis Gardeck, but you also need to see more out of him. And Xavier Thomas is a rookie out of the fifth round. He's really taken the next step in the preseason, but can he take that to the next level? So that's going to be something to watch definitely over the next couple of weeks, is just how does this pass rush evolve or look moving forward, given that there's been some injuries to that side of the football.
Tyler, last thing for me, I like to ask any of our guests that are covering other teams, you know, especially heading to the season, what are the vibes for Cardinals fans? I mean, two straight years of 4-13, but at least from the outside looking in, it does feel like there is a sense of maybe not, you know, Super Bowl aspirations, but just flat out a better team. Am I kind of right on that?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, the roster has improved on paper, at least exponentially. I think the talent's there. They've signed some guys to longer deals through free agency. They've brought in more, you know, right away starters out of the draft. The vibe's different. There's no longer, I mean, Zay Jones obviously got suspended not that long ago, but there's not that off-the-field distraction hanging over the franchise like it was the last couple of years. And that's huge. I think that's been the biggest thing for this, you know, rebuild foundation setting, is just the fact that they're sticking with football and not letting outside factors be outside factors. So the vibes, definitely they want to see more wins. People around here want to see more wins. but it's definitely a better spot. This 4-13 team is definitely in a better spot than it was when Jonathan Gannon and Monty took over. So it's in the right direction, but obviously NFL's a business. NFL is based on production. If you don't win, you're going to have to find another job. So obviously the win's got to be there at some point or another.
All right. Tyler, man, thanks for so much for taking some time out of your morning to join us. Got anything you want to promote here?
No, just head over to Arizona Sports. You can find all my work there. Follow me on social media at tdrake for sports. And, yeah, Cardinals Corner, we go every week and preview some games. We'll give you the recap of what we saw and all everything else in between.
Awesome. Tyler, man, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That was Tyler Drake there on the Wester Hotline. As you mentioned, he covers the Arizona Cardinals and is also the co-host on the Cardinals Corner podcast. I wanted to get like a more of a feeling after that interview of like where I would sit, you know, going into Sunday of like, man, all right, should I really be expecting like a really good team, you know, kind of like that deal, or a really bad team, or what have you? And I'm still sitting here going, I don't know about the Cardinals. I don't know. I think Trey McBride's awesome. I think that is going to be a real serious matchup nightmare for the Bills. Again, he sort of is an unknown name, I think partially because he had his breakout season on a 4-13 Arizona Cardinals team. But he is somebody that, like, of the tight ends the Bills will play this year, he's up there as, like, maybe the one I'm most scared of. And then Matt Milano got hurt. And now it's like, all right, let's see what happens. It's just, I'm very nervous about this game in terms of both, again, and I've said this, week one can't really take too much of it because it is week one. It is sort of an anomaly. It is sort of its own thing. But I still want the Bills to look good. I've kind of gotten to this point, Josh, in the last few years of just the week one games I don't get that excited for because the Bills a number of times have kind of let me down and let really Bills fans down. Of course, you have the loss to Zach Wilson last year, the fluky Pittsburgh loss, of course, just in the last few years. And so I kind of am sitting here going like, just get through it. No injuries, get through it. Just I don't want to like leave the game, you know, heading into postgame going, cool. The offense is awful. Like, I just, don't give me that. I don't want to feel like the defense is atrocious, anything. I really, my goal is I don't leave with any grandiose, you know, thoughts. I leave going, cool, the NFL season has started. Sunday Night Football starts in 4 hours. Like, that's kind of the feelings I want to have from it. It's not fun, it's not sexy, but, like, I feel like that's the way to just keep me level key because I think that's the way this game is going to go, win or loss. You brought it up in the first hour or in the first segment of just, like, unless the offense, like, explodes and just terrorizes Arizona, I think a lot of us will probably be like, okay, week one in the books. Off to Miami in 4 days or 5 days, whatever it is. And I think that's probably the right way to look at it. That, though, I am a little bit nervous about, of that quick turnaround, especially in a Miami team. It's early in the season. They typically play their best football early in the season. The Bills have handled them quite handily. I mean, I get it. But that is something slightly nervous about. Going to take a quick time out here, though. 803-0550 is the number to call. What would be your level of panic if the Bills were to fall to the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday? We'll look for your calls. We'll also read some of your tweets after a quick timeout. And a reminder that Sal Capaccio is going to join us at about 11:15 ahead of the Bills practice at 12:30. And Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media at 12. We are expecting captains today, the first injury report, among other things as well. Very exciting day here as the Bills do get ready for their week one matchup against the Arizona Cardinals. This is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you have great stuff, you can challenge over the white part of the plate a little bit more and let your stuff just play. If you don't, you better figure out...
Oh, no! Oh, my goodness! The White Sox have just gone full White Sox.
Three players running into each other on one play. It's stuff out of the Three Stooges.
That is rudimentary baseball of...
The short... No, I can describe exactly what happened because it was very simple. So the ball goes into left field, right down the foul line, right?
Mm-hmm.
The shortstop comes over to get the ball.
That feels wrong.
Calls off the third baseman and the left fielder that are both right there. And then at the last second, runs away and gets out of the way. And then the third baseman and left fielder both jump at the ball and collide with each other. And the ball falls fair and then foul. And I don't even know who got up to get it, but one of them was still down on the ground.
Yeah.
I thought two runs scored.
Yes.
I don't know if two did, but yeah,
it's bad.
It was bad.
I thought that was Evan coming back with Angels relief pitcher Ben Joyce throwing the hardest pitch in MLB history at 105.5 miles per hour. I would like to point out that happened.
What's the record?
Not good.
It's okay. The Blue Jays are bad too, but it's fine.
At least the Angels though were in that period where the Blue Jays were like 6 years ago. It's like they're really young. Yeah, they're kind of fun. They're just like the record wise, they're terrible.
Yeah, the Blue Jays kind of missed
bad.
The Yeah. But did you see what the Angels did last night with Shohei Ohtani on the scoreboard?
I didn't see any of what they did when he came back.
So did they see they intentionally walked? I don't know about that, but when he came,
maybe that's something else I saw.
When he came up to bat, the scoreboards just said Shohei Ohtani, his number, his position, which DH in this scenario
that night. Yep.
Yeah, and then like his stats and stuff, but like next to his picture, it said used to work here.
That's awesome. I got worried like, that they were going to do nothing.
It's so good. I mean, they did other stuff too, I'm sure, but that was just the one thing I saw.
I like that used to work here.
Yeah. Also, Kyle Brandt. Guess who his MVP pick is?
Josh Allen?
Yep.
Better be the one seed.
Well,
I mean, the voters have pretty much told you need to be a quarterback on a one seed team. So.
When we have MVP conversations, it's the guy that makes the team the best. It's not the guy on the best team that makes the team the best.
I don't disagree. The voters, though, will vote differently every time.
I distinctly remember, you know, end of high school, beginning of college, me arguing to no end with my friends that Jack Eichel should be the MVP for the Sabres because of the fact that he's making them relevant.
He's dragging them to relevancy.
Yeah,
he's taking a bad team and elevating them.
Right. That's what an MVP does.
Yeah.
And yes, MVPs can be on good teams and make them, you know, champions.
We don't vote like that way, Josh.
I can't stand it.
We simply do not.
I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. But hey, Kyle Brandt.
It is what it is. We do have a special show, though, coming up tomorrow as join WGR Sal Capaccio as he does the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This show live from Northtown Kia, 3900 Sheridan Drive in Amherst, Thursday, September 5th. That is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stop by, say hi, grab a Paula's Donut while supply lasts. Score some awesome WGR 550 swag and enter to win Buffalo Bills merchandise courtesy of Northtown. No purchase necessary. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. See you September 5th at Northtown Kia. Sal Capaccio will join the show in the next segment around 11:15 to preview Bills practice today and everything going on today, including Sean McDermott speaking at 12 o'clock. We'll hear that next. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.